off is almost the beginning of the Easter season, so I'm going to pick it up in a few months there. But as we look at Christmas, as we look at the candle of hope, and we think of the hope that we have, I want to bring us to that very familiar story once again. Taken from Matthew, the first chapter, beginning at the 18th verse, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through his prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. What an incredible story. You know, we've heard it so often. We are so familiar with it. But what an incredible story. And I believe that if all the space in all the books that have ever been printed or written could even start, they could not contain the fullness of God's intention in coming that first Christmas morning. All during the Advent season, we're going to be looking at the world and attempt to summarize in four words: hope, peace, joy, and love. And this morning we begin by looking at hope. And you know, hope is a great place to start, because hope is one thing that has eluded our world. And I think we're drifting further and further away from it. Hope is that small word that says so much. It's the thing that we experience when God actually invades our lives and removes the burdens that we carry. As we experience Christmas this year, it's because of what Jesus has done. It's because He has made His dwelling place where we live. And in Him, we find those four words: hope, peace, joy, and love. In His presence, we find hope, which gives us the abundance of living. Not just for here and now, but hope beyond. Something that's far greater. Luke wrote, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" That's us. For all people. For all time. For all eternity. At the time of Jesus' birth, there seemed to be a darkness in the world. It was just pervasive. It was all around. There was little to be joyful for. There was little to find hope in. Does that sound strangely familiar today? Does that kind of resonate with anyone? Because little has changed. People are still the same. Not much has changed. When we look at the world all around us, yeah, we have computers and we've got cars and we've got all of the modern stuff. But really, we live in a hopeless situation outside of Christ. The Roman government had taxed the people to the point where there wasn't much left. Life was cheap. Life was cheap. The people felt the weight of suppression. One place where they did find relief was within family. Family and friends. That was something the Romans couldn't take away from them, and it's something that we have to maintain. In this morning's scripture, we find Joseph. He was looking forward to being married to the girl of his dreams. She was the joy of his life. They shared the same ideas, the same hope, the same future. They shared the same love of God. And it seemed that they were evenly matched. And then the bottom fell out. Unless you've been in a similar situation, you can't even begin to imagine what was going through Joseph's mind. The Bible says that Joseph was a righteous man. He wanted to do what was right. The law said that what Mary did called for the death penalty. You see, the Bible takes infidelity really, really seriously. Joseph had a problem. His head knew what the law said, and his heart told him something completely different. He didn't want to set Mary up as a public example. So he decided, he had to decide, if I marry her, as if nothing has happened, it's as good as admitting that I was involved with her. In the middle of all this, God sent his angel. Aren't you glad that so very often when we get to the end of what we can rationalize, when we get to the end of trying to figure out what the solution is, God shows up, and he's so much more capable than we are. Listen to the conversation. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. When we read this, we may miss the thing that Joseph heard. We can only relate to things through the lens of our own experience. Joseph heard the same things that the angel told him, but they included, and these are the things that aren't said, but this is what the angel told him. Mary is still the same person that you thought she was. She is still honorable. She can still be trusted. You should follow your heart. You should marry her. But the angel told him something even greater than this. And you know, we have read this story so many times that we tend to just kind of pass over it. But the angel said this to him. This is the baby's name. This is what you were to call him. He named the child. It wasn't just simply that this person was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. The angel actually knew who he was. Isn't that amazing? When you stop and think about it. You see, in our culture, our name is our identification. Many years ago, I was selling cameras in Brockville, Ontario. And a man came in. I hadn't been in the store for very long. A man came in. I'll never forget this. It was a weird situation. He was a little short guy. And I was brand new to the store. He spotted me, and he just jettisoned across the store, stuck out his hand, and he says, "Hi, my name is Bunny Stotesberry. It's the most personal thing I've got. Don't ever forget it." I never forgot it. Bunny Stotesberry. That's a hard name to forget. Our names identify us. When the Jews name someone, It described that person's character. It had major significance of identifying who this person was. Now, remember, Joseph was a righteous man. He had studied the law, he had studied the prophets, and when the angel said, you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins, this must have, it was kind of like, okay, the angel is talking to him, he's telling him about Mary, he's telling him about getting married and, you know, going on with life, but then he says, but you are to name this child Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And I can just imagine, okay, when Joseph heard that, all of a sudden there was something that clicked that went back to the ancient prophecies. That this was more than just a really weird situation. There was something that grabbed his attention. And in the roots of it was Joshua, Yeshua, the one who will save, Jehovah, who is salvation. And this is that eureka moment when it all comes together. Who is this kid? He is the Messiah. He's the promised one. His name is Salvation. You see, Joseph, being who he was, had studied the Scripture, so he knew Psalm 130. I will wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His Word I will put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from their sins. His name is Jesus. He will save His people from their sins. This was huge. This was huge. Imagine, Joseph, this announcement moved him from the bottom of despair to joy that was over the top, to a hope that was being fulfilled. You see, there is hope, peace, joy, love found in the name of Jesus, the one we serve. And what a glorious message this is. He brings meaning to our lives. He gives us hope for the future. He cleanses us from our sins. He redeems that which is lost. When all seems without hope, when all seems lost, He delivers redemption. And He can take all of our failures, every last one of our failures, and use them to bring glory to His name. Do you know that? You see, so very often, Satan wants to just hold us down. And he continually reminds him, oh, but you messed up so big over there. And God's message of redemption is, give it to me. Give it to me and watch what I can do with that. That's hope. That's hope for the future. That's moving us forward. Matthew says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is now man. Most world religions will teach something quite different. They will teach what you have to do to please God. Some teach that eventually you will become God. Some will tell you that you are God, but you don't even know that you're God. But the Bible teaches that Jesus, who was God and is God, became one of us, doing the very thing that we could not do, administering hope to our lives. no longer distant, no longer out there, but living here with us. For some, the thought may be frightening to believe that God, the God of the universe, the God who breathes creation, the ruler of the universe, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the omnipresent, the God of heaven, took on the form of a baby. Matthew's understanding of the Lord Jesus was clear. You see, he called Matthew. He ate with him, he taught him. He watched the miracles, he witnessed his compassion, his love. From first-hand experience, Matthew knew exactly who Jesus was, that he was God, not just on our side, not just cheering us on, he was the living one among us. And the good news of the gospel is Emmanuel is here. And he lives with us today. One of the old hymns of the church says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. This is the hope of Christmas. This is the thing that holds us. This is the thing that we find satisfaction in, and it's the thing that the world is looking for so desperately. You know, so many are looking to find happiness, yet happiness doesn't bring that inner satisfaction that's missing in so many lives. His name is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is Yeshua. He is the God of salvation. And this message comes by faith. He lives in us. He comes to save us from our sins. The spirit of Christmas, the hope that is ours, the love, the joy, the peace, is found in faith in the one who came. Do you know that inner joy, that inner peace this morning? Would you just bow with me in prayer? Our Father and our God, we thank you so much, Lord, for this message that's ours. Father, we thank you that you came in the form of a baby. And Lord, that you love us that much. And Lord, now as we prepare to go to Sunday school, I pray, Lord, that you will just enable us to open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts. Lord, to be receptive to what you would have. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.